Hello, friends. Hello, Lou.
Yeah, how are we doing today?
Welcome, friends. This is our last episode. I'm not sure if I'm going to be doing one more just to wrap things up. But in this episode, we are going to be finishing the dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna. So that much I know for sure. After that, the Gita still has a few verses where Sanjay talks to Dhritarashtra. He's the one that started off the Gita talking about what was happening on the battlefield. Mm-hmm. And that sort of concludes it in the Gita itself. But that's not really the teachings of Krishna and Arjuna. And I'm debating whether to do those verses for sake of completeness or not.
Oh, so that would tell us what happens in the battle.
It sort of does, sort of doesn't.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe I will finish it with that. So anyway, but this is the last episode where we're talking about Krishna and Arjuna. So without further ado, let's do verses 70 through 72, episode 215. Verse 70 says, those who study the Gita, this dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna, they worship me by doing jnana yajna, the sacrifice of ignorance. Jnana yajna. You remember we talked about yajna many, many times in the Gita. It comes up. Now, yajna is something that is done, has been done in India for centuries and still continues to be done. Yajna is basically a large fire pit where people, you know, from a whole community come. And everybody, so priests are sitting around the fire and they're saying prayers. And they say this is, people misunderstand. They say this is so that you inculcate, you bring in God and God will help you. So this is basically to inculcate God. But it's more than that. It's a symbolic thing where everybody comes, whatever they have that they would need to put into the fire to make the fire go higher, they put in. So people put in ghee, which is clarified butter. Large containers. This is valuable stuff, right? Ghee, right, which is milk to butter, and oil they put into the fire. And then they put rice and grain and various other things, wood, anything to make the fire grow.
It's sustenance. And it's important to them.
Yes. Yeah. And it's actually a way of saying that we as a community, we as an office, we as a corporation, everybody's putting something into it. It doesn't matter who's putting the fire, who's putting the ghee or the oil, and who's putting the wood, and who's putting the rice and grain. Nobody asks, hey, what did you put? And how much did you put? I put in one bottle of butter. How much did you put in? Nobody says that. Everybody does what they can to the best of their ability. And then the success of the fire, when the fire goes up, because, can you hear me, Lou?
Yes, I can. Yeah.
Okay. Because somebody turned on my car in the garage, and so sometimes it goes via Bluetooth to the car. The success of the flames jumping up is its reception of everybody's contribution. So that is a yajna. And there's a lot more that we talked about before, so I won't go into it. But here, Krishna says, you are, by teaching this and by studying this, you are doing a yajna of what? What are you donating? You're not donating fire. You're not donating wood or ghee or butter or grain. You're donating your ignorance. You're putting your ignorance in the fire. It gets burned. Somebody is giving you knowledge. You are donating and giving away your ignorance. So a yajna wherein ignorance is burned or sacrificed in the fire of yajna. He's saying, those who study this Gita, this dialogue between us, they worship me by doing jnana yajna, sacrifice of ignorance. And understanding arises, Krishna says, all negativity disappears, because once you learn this scripture, your negativity about life, your pessimism, your depression, all goes away. Your I-ness, I did it, I'm disappointed because he did better, he got a reward, all of that goes away. All your vasanas in time disappear. Your thoughts of me, I did it, I did this, I'm great, all of that disappears. That is, that disappearing is the burning in the fire of yajna. So Krishna says, study the Gita alone, And studying the Gita alone, he means when he says Gita, he means the Upanishad, the Vedanta, all of the scriptures. There's many of them. Studying these scriptures alone is better than doing rituals. Going to a temple, walking around, giving right. flowers, giving fruits, all of that is not compared to this. So service to the world and to your fellow beings, not just human beings, but to your fellow beings, animals, insects, birds, is getting enlightenment of yourself. You get knowledge of who you are, what this world is all about. That enlightenment is like coming to Krishna directly. Any form of yajna or sacrifice is worship. Any form of yajna or sacrifice is worship to the God, because you're giving something up, you're sacrificing, whether it be material wealth, whether it be your physical donation of your energy, your mental emotions, your intellect, your studies, your knowledge, your teaching of how to get to God. This is a gift of knowledge, a sacrifice of ignorance that you're doing to somebody else. Shankaracharya, a great, great, great rishi from the past, says there are four types of yajna or ritual. This is something we've not discussed at all before this. Almost everything is four in this, but here are four types of yajna. The first one that we just talked about involves material. Mm-hmm. You put wood in the fire to make it burn. You put ghee, there is a fire. You have to strike a match and put sulfur and phosphorus in that to light it up. There is rice, there's grain that you put into that. That's material, the first one. Second one involves an oral recitation of a mantra. You sit there and you're doing a yajna. You are saying orally, loudly, as the priests do. They're saying, chanting mantras loudly. The third is a slightly, barely audible recitation of a mantra. Why? Because you're not saying it loudly. You already know it. You've done it. You're allowing your mind to focus on that barely audible mantra. And your mind says, I don't want to distract from here. Don't want to throw away from here. But I'm focusing on this mantra. Third. Fourth, an inaudible but purely mental recitation of the mantra is the highest form of yajna, because your mind is totally wrapped up in the mantra, mm-hmm. even though you're not saying anything. So Shankaracharya gives these four types of yajna rituals. The one who studies the Gita is worshiping God. If you're studying the Gita, I'm studying the Gita. As you're doing it, you're worshiping God. This is a sacrifice of your ignorance. No other form of worship is necessary, he says. If you want to go to the temple, you can. Mm-hmm. You want to, you know, do anything. You want to say your prayers, do recitation of mantras. That's fine. But he's saying you really don't need to. This alone is enough. You may feel that by doing this, I'm just studying the Upanishads, the Vedanta. By the way, if you have never learned, studied the Upanishads, it's absolutely mind-blowing. It's much heavier, deeper than this. But this Gita takes the essence of the Upanishads right. and puts it in here. More story form, much easier, lower level of understanding. But if you're willing to go to a higher level, it's absolutely mind-blowing. So he's saying, if you study the Gita, the Upanishads, the Vedanta, no other form of worship is necessary. No rituals are necessary. You may feel that you're not doing real bhakti, because you're just studying the Gita. What am I doing? I'm just studying. I look at these people. They're all taking days off to travel for miles and going to this temple or that temple. You don't need to do it. You just study the Gita and the Upanishads, and you've done a greater form of worship to God. That was verse 70. Verse 71. He says, there are those who do not study, or who do not study in detail. Okay? Studying is one form, where you actually read a book, look at it, study it, or those who don't study in detail, but they study. And there are others who just listen attentively. They may not pick up the book to read, they may not make notes, but they do listen attentively. Perhaps less so than listening attentively, but they listen. But their listening or their studying or not studying in detail is A, without argument, no caviling, or without finding fault with the teacher or the thing that is being taught or the Gita or with Brahman, Right? We said in the previous episode that if somebody is constantly saying, well, what is God? If you God is so great, then why do bad things happen to good people? Why do kids die? Right. God can't be so great. If you're finding fault with God, if you're finding fault with the teachings, if you're finding somebody says, I don't believe in reincarnation, I don't believe, you know enough. What do you know? You're a psychiatrist. You studied psychiatry your whole life. You just studied Gita in the last 20 years. You can't be good enough. You find fault with the teacher, you become arrogant. You are not grateful for what you're receiving. Right. And arrogance and lack of gratitude is an obstacle to your learning further.
So you're attached to your ignorance instead of sacrificing it.
Yes, and you think great of yourself, therefore you're not going to take any advice or teachings from somebody else. So you have to listen, a person who listens without being argumentative or finding fault and just absorbing it. The bottom line, everything in the scriptures always says, clarify your questions. If you have any questions, any doubts, ask. Mm-hmm. But ask without argumentativeness. Ask without fighting with the, and being open to and receptive to the explanation. If you're just going to say, I'm going to fight you for the sake of arguing, that doesn't work. The Lord further praises one who listens attentively to the Gita. Just listen with faith, he says, and you will get rid of your impurities. Listening itself is a blessing. Listening is punya, he says. Listening studiously to the Gita, a person has Shraddha. Shraddha is great faith with devotion and determination to get to the end of where you're getting. This person who studies like this looks upon Krishna as Brahman himself. He does not find fault with the teachings or the person who is doing the teaching or with the Gita or the Upanishads and doesn't find fault with Brahman. He is freed by knowing all of this. The next verse, a good teacher, that's the last one, my friends. next verse is where a good teacher has to find out before he leaves whether a student has really understood what he or she, as the teacher, taught.
Yeah.
So in this last verse, Krishna says, that's the last interaction between Krishna and Arjuna. He says, did you understand what I said to you? And that's based because if Krishna says, if Arjuna says, what was that you said about karma yoga and something about bhakti yoga, jnana yoga? Can you go over that again, please? Then Krishna has to start all over again, if he's a good teacher, and says, last time I said it, however, whatever I did, I didn't explain it carefully enough, good enough, I've got to do it again. So it's the duty of the teacher to ask, did I do a good enough job? Did you understand what I meant to get across to you or not? How much did you understand? So that's what Krishna says in verse 72, the last verse between Krishna and Arjuna. He says, have you been listening with a single-pointed attention? Have you been listening with a single-pointed mind, focus on what I said? And therefore, has the ignorance within you been destroyed? Just that. Teacher wants to know if the student has really understood. Has he been attentive? Has he suspended all his preformed ideas and prejudice for the time that he has been listening? So every one of us has preformed ideas about what God is, what Brahman is, all of these things that you've learned by listening to these last 215 episodes. You had preformed ideas about what the Gita was about, or what scriptures were about what right. Brahman is about, what you are about. He says, suspend all those while you're listening and all your prejudices and ideas. He says, did you listen to what I said without indifference? Meaning, if you have indifference to it, I don't care what she says. I'm just listening for the sake of listening. Right. That's indifference. Without indifference, listen. Whenever there is delusion, Krishna says, there is confusion and ignorance. When you're confused and ignorant, you don't gather information. Whenever you're deluded about what you're listening to, you have confusion and ignorance. He says, have you understood enough that your understanding itself destroyed your ignorance? Has the ignorance within you been destroyed? Have you listened and learned enough that your understanding destroyed your ignorance? Mm-hmm. With this, Krishna's, the Lord's sermon is over. The beginning was of the Gita, you are aggrieved for no reason. At the end of this teaching, he says, do not grieve. Do not grieve. So this is about beginning with you being upset, about being grieved, and at the end says, do not grieve. The next few verses sum up the dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna. The last word in this verse is Dhananjay. Dhananjay means the one who wins all wealth. Krishna calls Arjuna Dhananjay, means the one who wills all wealth. You and I both traditionally have been taught to think that wealth means financial wealth, gold coins, money, dollars, rupees. Here he means spiritual wealth. Dhananjay means the winner of all the wealth of spirituality, which is far, far, far greater than money or gold coins. Arjuna answers the Lord's question positively by saying, yes, my confusion has been dissolved. I'm rid of my confusion and my ignorance. You have answered all my questions. So the Gita comes to an end here. So, my friends, thank you very much.
Oh, wait, let me thank you, and let me thank you for myself personally. Let me thank you for the people who have listened to these podcasts, for the effort and the teachings involved here. It has been such a gift to all of us, and you deserve thanks, and you deserve reward, and you deserve acknowledgement for all the effort you've put into this. It's been a tremendous effort.
Thank you, my friend. It's been wonderful getting to know you. You've become a true friend.
Yes.
And I really appreciate working with you. And to all of those of you who listen, I'm grateful. It is because of you that my karmas are being fulfilled. That without you listening is like, you know, doing charity. If you have nobody to take your charity, you can't really do charity. If I have nobody to listen to me, my karma yoga is incomplete. So I'm grateful to you for listening. And I love it that you've been writing to me so much about your questions and your queries. So Hari Om, Namaskar, thank you. And hopefully you'll continue your studies of the Gita and move on to the Upanishads and everything. And anything I can do for you, even after all of this is complete, please do write to me either through Facebook or email or Twitter or however you write. Thank you so much.
I'm going to commit you to one more episode for this so that we can sum up a little bit and talk about what we're going to be doing next so that people who have been following us will be able to join along in that journey as well. So we'll have one more little capper episode, and then we'll move on to the next great adventure.
Will do, Lou. Thank you so much. Take care, everybody.